This morning, obviously, it's Mother's Day. Amen?
Amen.
And it's a day of thanksgiving, actually. Giving thanks to mothers, to future mothers, to grandmothers, for what they have done for us. You know, it's one of those days that I don't know. I have a feeling that it's going to go away. Everything is getting turned upside down. And why not take away Mother's Day? Why not take away Father's Day? Because today, a lot of people have no desire except for themselves. So as we come this morning, we want to bring the word, and we begin with Titus 2, verses 3 through 5. It's instructions that Titus is given. He says, older women likewise are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, not a slave to much wine, teaching what is good. So what they may encourage the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sensible, pure, workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husbands, so that the word of God will not be dishonored. Today is Mother's Day in America. We celebrate it. But normally, out of this one day, we celebrate, but every other day that we hear about the wickedness of mothers who do evil things to their children. But what happens? Why don't we hear about the good things that mothers are doing? The mothers that are doing their best. They hardly receive the thank you for what they have been doing in the building of a home and family. Now, no mother is perfect, but motherhood is no easy task. We need to remember that we, as sons and daughters, were not and still are not perfect, either, even though we thought ourselves smarter and more mature than our parents. Today, our culture has embraced personal happiness, self-satisfaction at all costs, as being in the greatest priority of life. It is a me, myself, and I attitude at the expense of everyone around us, even our mothers. And surely I want everyone around me so that they can praise and idolize me. This is their attitude, so that they can know that I am number one. This is the attitude that is prevalent today. The dangers of divorce, acceptance of sexual immorality, and a preoccupation with self-fulfillment have taken their toll on the family. Our culture continues to spin out of control, and the family unit continues to disintegrate, while the Bible, the Word of God, lifts it up, lifts up families, and exalts the place of the woman in the family. Motherhood, whether you believe it or not, is a ministry. It is a ministry for teaching, preparing children to follow God's way, and being an example of love of Jesus. Titus ministered in a pagan society. The environment among the Christians, whose background was violence, dishonesty, immorality, that the Cretans were legendary for it. And Titus 1 says, for there are many rebellious men, empty talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision, who must be silenced because they are upsetting whole families, teaching things that should not teach for the sake of sordid grain. One of them, themselves a prophet of their own, said, Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons. In verse 13, it says, this testimony is true. The godly women of Crete were trying to maintain their godliness, but they were living in a supremely ungodly society, not to mention you mothers today. Same type of society. And you're trying to do your best. It's something like the word says, there's nothing new under the sun. The older women are exhorted to teach and to train the young women and mothers in the noble, excellent, and beautiful things of life and how to be a very godly woman in an upside-down world. How to love your husband. The marriage relationship takes priority, obviously. In Ephesians 5, 22 and 33, we'll not go there, lays down the principles that should govern the home, where the husband and wife desire to love each other in the will of God. When the marriage relationship is priority, the wife and husband will be the most fulfilled, and the children will learn how to have successful marriages. The wife and husband will both be aware of the dangers of placing other pursuits as priority. And we see that today. Family time, family getting together, eating together, talking together is no longer a priority. It has gone by the wayside. There's more important things to do, like go shopping, baseball, football. I'm not against those things, but where is our priority? This is in contrast with the ungodliness of our world, where personal happiness is placed above every other priority. And that's what's happening. Godly mothers love their husbands. How to love your children. Loving your children does not mean giving them everything they want. Making sure that they keep up with the world. Make their own religious decisions. Do you know that our loving children require the D word? Discipline. In Proverbs 23, verses 13 through 14, do not hold back discipline from the child. Although you strike him, you rod, he will not die. Amen. You shall strike him with the rod and rescue him, his soul from Sheol. You know, instilling the biblical worldview into a son or daughter is not a bad thing. In fact, it is the good thing and only thing. Teaching them to love Jesus Christ, there is nothing wrong in doing that. We are commanded to do that. Caring for their spiritual, emotional, and physical needs, there's nothing wrong in doing that. But there comes a point when you no longer helicopter them. Doting, giving them everything they want, that they soon become the head of the house. That's not a place for a child. That is a place for a mother and a father. In Psalm 127, verses 3 through 5, it says, behold, children are a gift of the Lord. Sometimes we may not think that. You know, there are times that are taxing. And the fruit of the womb is a reward. And like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. How blessed is a man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be ashamed when they speak with their enemies in the gate. In 2 Timothy 1, verse 5, it says, for I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother, Lois, and in your mother, Eunice. And I am sure that it is in you well. Paul is talking to Timothy there, and he's seeing the results of godly women, mother and grandmother, had an impact on Timothy. Do we have an impact on our children? That is the question. How does she develop godly character? She needs to develop godly character by being self-controlled. In King James, it's called discreet. In New American Standard, it's called sensible. In the New Living Translation, it says, live wisely. It means to be sober-minded. The young woman is to think about what she is doing with her life. It's not a day of telephone, chatting. Can't even think of the other words. Talking, maybe?
Texting,
that's the word. She uses the phone. She knows how. Okay. The Cretans were known for a lack of self-control. I mean, they had no control. Self-control is what? A fruit of the Spirit. It influences all that we do. We need self-control, and therefore we need the Holy Spirit guiding us and comforting us, showing us and teaching us. In 1 Timothy 2:9, it says, likewise, also the women should adorn themselves in respectable apparel with modesty and self-control. Be pure. This relates to a commitment in your marriage vows. Be pure. It also relates to the spiritual influence in the home. Be pure and be true. 1 Peter 3, verses 1 through 2 says, in the same way, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands, so that even if any of them are disobedient, husbands being disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives, as they observe your chaste and respectful behavior. This relates to the image of purity. Godly women are to be chaste, modest, pure in heart and mind. Think in terms of speech, or what they say, how they dress, and all other relationships that go with it. And godly mothers need to pass these on to their children. How about working at home? In the time of Titus, there were false teachers who were dividing families with their teachings. Many of these worldly elements continue to work against families today. Paul is not prohibiting women from working outside the home, but he clearly urges that the home take a position of priority in our lives. Godly homes are created. They don't just happen. And the mothers, grandmothers have a big part in that. Be kind. Kindness deals with doing good, being benevolent towards others, hospitality, having a giving nature. These are all things mothers and grandmothers give to their children. Today, there's a lack of respect in society. And of course, submit to your husbands. God has created an order which includes a masculine headship. Headship, not an authority, but is responsible in loving care. The husband is responsible in loving. He has a responsibility in a loving care for his wife, the mother of his children. These character qualities are quite different than what was common among the Cretans, and these qualities are not as common in today's culture either. Like I said, like the word says, there's nothing new under the sun. It's a repetition of what was and still is. You know, really, when you really look at it, the mom ministry, we'll call it the mom ministry, is one of the toughest assignments God ever gave anybody. How many mothers here agree to that? I would hand my hand up, looking and seeing what mothers do. What does your wife do as a mother? It is taxing. It is tough. She's got to be an insightful as a psychologist, tough as a drill sergeant, and gentle as a nurse. She's got to be a labor and management negotiator. Who is going to do what? Mom, I don't want to do the dishes. What do you mean you don't want to do the dishes? My sister should do it. That's more of a woman's work. I learned to do dishes early, and so did my sister. That was part of our training. A teacher. Mothers, you have to be a teacher. You have to be an electrician. You have to be a plumber and a carpenter and so forth. The list keeps going on. But we as husbands forget about that. We think they don't do anything. They take care of you, don't they? Amen. You know, it requires an endless supply of energy on her part. A massive amount of patience. Does she need patience? Sometimes it's not the children, it's the husband that requires her patience. An iron will, in recognition of the fact that if she ever gets sick, oh, God forbid, she's got to get well before the end of school's over. By the end of the school day, she's got to be better. She's got to go and pick those kids up. She's got to be better. Being a godly mother in the times that we are living is by no means an easy task. But it's doable by the grace of God. That is the only way. By God's grace and His mercy. He's made you a mother, He's made you a grandmother. He will supply all your needs. You also need a lot of grace. Amen? Amen. Amen. Lots of grace. And we need to pray for our mothers more often. And this is Mother's Day. We've taken a few moments to honor our mothers as we talked about the capable, intelligent, worthy, virtuous woman of Amherst Christian Church. The question that we ask is, what is this worthy woman like? Who is this woman, this worthy woman? Well, you can get a number of answers. Answer number one, a man's answer. There are some who would say that the ideal woman is a woman who will obey my every whim, wait on me hand and foot, and literally worship the ground I walk on. That's some answers that you get from men, from husbands. And answer number two, a woman's answer. Others would say that the ideal woman can do the work of two men. And if women were prime ministers and presidents, wars would end, unemployment would be eliminated, and world hunger would be the things of the past. Baloney. We know that doesn't work. We know both situations, both answers are not right. They're extremes. God has a middle road for us to walk, a narrow path. according to his word, according to his grace, and according to his mercy. You know, the truthful answer is in God's word. I'd like to read Proverbs 31, verses 10 to 31. We'll end with that. An excellent woman, one who is spiritual, capable, intelligent, and virtuous. This is from the Amplified. Who is he who can find her? Her value is more precious than jewels, and her worth is far above rubies and pearls. The heart of her husband trusts in her with secure confidence, and he will have no lack of gain. She comforts, encourages, and does him only good and not evil. In all the days of her life, she looks for wool and flax and works with willing hands in delight. She is like the merchant ships abounding with treasure. She brings her household's food from far away. She rises also while it is still night and gives food to her household and assigns tasks to her maids. She considers a field before she buys it or accepts it, expanding her business prudently. With her profits, she plants fruitful vines in her vineyard. She equips herself with strength, spiritual, mental, and physical fitness for her God's given task. It makes her arms strong. She sees that her gain is good. Her lamp does not go out, but it burns continually through the night. She is prepared for whatever lies ahead. She stretches out her hands to the distaff, and her hands hold the spindle as she spins wool into thread of clothing. She opens and extends her hand to the poor, and she reaches out her filled hands to the needy. She does not fear the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed in expensive scarlet wool. She makes for herself coverlets, cushions, and rugs of tapestry. Her clothing is linen, pure and fine, and purple wool. Her husband is known in the city's gate when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes fine linen, garments, and sells them, and supplies sashes to the merchants. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and her position is strong and secure. And she smiles at the future, knowing that she and her family are prepared. She opens her mouth in skillful and godly wisdom. And the teaching of kindness is on her tongue, giving counsel and instruction. She looks well to how things go in her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, happy, prosperous, to be admired. Her husband also, and he praises her, saying, many daughters have done nobly and well with the strength of character that is steadfast in goodness. But you excel them all. Charm and grace are deceptive and superficial. Beauty is vain. But a woman who fears the Lord, reverently worshiping, obeying, serving, and trusting him with awe-filled respect, she shall be praised. Give her of the product of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates of the city. Happy Mother's Day. May God bless you. Let's stand. Hallelujah.
Let us pray.
Father God, we thank you and praise you for this day that you bless us with. This special day, Lord God, for mothers. Mother's Day, Lord God. And Lord, we come and Lord, ask you that you would bless every mother here, Lord God. Every grandmother, every mother-to-be, Lord God. Those that are mothering right now, Lord God. Father, we ask a blessing upon them, Lord God. Lord, we know that it is a lifelong ministry that they're in. And Father, that you would give them the grace and mercy, Lord, that they need. Give them the wisdom, the understanding, Lord, the foreknowledge, Lord God, of your desire for them. So, Lord, we just thank you for that. We thank you for the mothers here present, Lord God, and those watching. So, Lord, we thank you and praise you and worship you and glorify you, Lord, as we honor our mothers this day. Amen. Amen.